Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. Good morning, His Tabernacle live stream. It's such an honor and a privilege to be with the corporate body today, pursuing Jesus, amen? So it is Welcome Home Sunday. This is the Sunday that we encourage everybody to come on back to church from their summers of camping and all the other things that we get busy with. So turn to somebody next to you and say, welcome home. It's so good to see you here today. So we have some great things planned for you in our Welcome Home Sunday celebration. But most importantly, we have a great word. I love that we're a word-rich church. Amen? Oh, I can't even hear you. Amen? Amen. There you are. Okay. So if you are a guest in the house this morning, we would like to welcome you. We would also like to invite you to join us in our Connect Room, which is right over here on this side of the building. We have refreshments, and many of the staff and the leaders are waiting to have an opportunity to get to know you and to let you know about some of the opportunities that our church has for you to participate with throughout the week. Also, if you are someone who's really wanting to know and learn what God's purpose is for your life. And honestly, many people feel unfulfilled in their life, one, because they're missing Jesus, but two, because they don't know their purpose in Jesus. And so if you are wondering what your purpose is in Christ and looking to be enriched in the areas that He's called you to, I would encourage you to, again, come over to the Connect Room on Sunday mornings at 9:30 to participate with our four-week Discover class. Now, I know that it doesn't look like it just yet. The leaves have not changed colors. Thankfully, we still have some summer weather that we're enjoying. But Halloween is right around the corner. And here in this church, we actually have an annual harvest fest on Halloween night. And we like to outdo the world. We like to give more candy than neighborhoods would give. We like to be the place to be. We love to reach out to our community. So if you would like to donate candy, then you can bring it any Sunday or any time throughout the week from now till just about our harvest fest or Halloween. Just take it to the His Kids booth, because we want to give heaps and mounds of candy to the kids on that night. Also, Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. is our Rock Solid Faith class. And there is nothing more important than for you to know the Word of God, for you to know what you believe according to the Word of God. And in these last days, the Bible says that there will be many false prophets and false teachers and many lies of the enemy. And the only way for you to have a defense against the enemy is to know the Word of God. So please, if you have not participated with Rock Solid Faith, you need to attend Tuesdays, 7 p.m. right here in the sanctuary to get that word in your spirit. And because I'm the one doing the announcements today, I want to make a special plug for Women's Bible Study. On Thursday nights at 7 p.m., we have an awesome team of women that dig deep into the Word of God. And if you want to be surrounded with other women that want Jesus the way that you do, then that's the class, that's the group you do not want to miss. So we're going to ask you to stand today as we prepare for worship. And please welcome our senior pastors, Pastors Michael and Rhonda Spencer.
Good morning, everybody. Amen. What a great day. We know some folks are going to be in service, but they're all playing with the ponies. Yes. Amen. So we've had a privilege. We've been with Brother Ted Shuttlesworth since Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We came back Saturday. And we're leaving tonight, tomorrow night, and I think Wednesday night.
We'll be back
so
Tuesday.
So we want to encourage you to go on up. It's 1876 Elmwood Ave in Rochester, New York. Brother Ted will be at Faith Church like I said, from now until Thursday night will be the last
7
evening.
7 p.m.
We encourage you to go. It's been great services. The anointing has been very strong, and the gifts of the Spirit have been so tight.
Amen.
I want to give you one of them. Brother Ted had a word of knowledge about a young man when he was a child He was born with sickle cell anemia is what the doctors thought. They weren't sure. And so they didn't do a final diagnosis. But he had always had issues with his intestines. He was young. I want to say no more than 30 years old. And he came up. You know, Brother Ted called him up and told him about that. Then he looked at him and he said, the issue is that, oh, wait a minute. I see in the spirit there's an Indian doctor and a nurse named
Johnson.
Oh, wait a minute. There's another doctor and two more nurses, but you're not in the room. Where are you? He said, it's a consultation. They're talking about what's going on with your body. And he goes, there you are. And the doctor walked out into the room where he was in the spirit and told him, you have Crohn's disease. And so the young man was just like, he's saying, that's exactly what happened. There's no way for Brother Ted to know that. He was not there. But the Holy Spirit is there. Amen. It's called the gifts of the Holy Spirit with vision. And so he actually laid hands on him and God healed him right there. It was just a phenomenal experience. I really want to encourage you to get on up there. The signs and wonders have been phenomenal. The gifts of the Spirit have been very strong. We are having Brother Ted here. I finally booked the date. He's been very hard to get here. I believe it's June 3 through 5. You want to put that on your calendar. Make sure you're in the house. And prayerfully, we can keep him longer. Amen.
Yes, absolutely. All right, let's pray. We know that where two or three are gathered, there he is in the midst of them. So God is already here. His power, his presence.
Yes, amen.
Just to flood your hearts and minds today with peace, with joy, with deliverance, with restoration,
amen.
Because he is a good God. Father, we,
yes,
love,
Jesus,
you,
we love you
so much.
Thank
we
you
love the
anointing.
Privilege and honor of
Thank
coming
you
to your
presence,
house to gather together with two or more where you are, Jesus. We thank you for your power that can do the impossible. There's nothing too difficult for you, Jesus. We bring it all to you. We bring it to the altar. We bring it before you, Lord. Take our lives and just do the impossible. Father, we know that you'll make a way where there is no way. We just thank you for your power, your supernatural power. Everything we will ever face. So today, Lord, we celebrate you, we exalt
Hallelujah.
You, we worship you, we praise
Hallelujah.
You, and we lift you up above everything
we
else.
Honor you, Father.
We put everything aside just to worship
just to
you,
worship
Jesus.
You.
We thank you for it in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
We'd love to invite you guys to come on down to the altar. We can praise together. This is going to be amazing. Come on, y'all. While you're coming, just come on and clap.
I got a song and I'll sing it loud. My praise is pouring out. My praise is pouring out.
Who's happy to be in this service this morning? Come on, let me hear you shout. Yay! Thank you, Father God.
Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine.
Sing Heir of Salvation.
Heir of Salvation. I'm purchased of God. I'm born of His Spirit. Oh, I'm washed in His blood.
Oh.
That I can't stop singing this freedom song. I'm praising my Savior
all the day long.
I've got a song and I'm singing loud. My praise is pouring out.
My praise is pouring out.
And
I will dance in your freedom now.
'Cause you have brought me out.
How y'all feeling this morning? Come on and sing this. Say,
blessed assurance.
Say, Jesus is mine.
Jesus is mine.
Oh, what a foretaste,
oh, what a foretaste
of glory divine.
Of glory divine.
The and I'm born of His Spirit. Say, I'm washed in His blood, and I can't stop singing my freedom song. And I'm praising my Savior all the day long, all the day long. I've got a song and I sing it loud. All right, this next part is very easy. All you have to do is say yes. Can we teach them one time? Say yes.
Yes.
Say yes.
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 Yes. Yes.
Say yes.
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 Did He heal you?
Yes.
Did He free you?
Yes.
Did He save your soul?
Yes.
Did He make you whole?
Yes.
Did He wash you?
Yes.
Transform you?
Yes.
Did He redeem you?
Yes.
Did He clean you?
Yes. Yes.
Did He set you free?
Yes.
Gave you victory?
Yes.
When He died for you?
Yes.
On Calvary?
Yes. Yes.
Did He give you peace?
Yes.
Did He give you hope?
Yes.
When He filled you
yes.
with the Holy Ghost?
Yes. Yes.
So will you praise Him?
Yes.
Will you worship Him?
Yes.
Will you lift Him high?
Yes.
With all your mind,
yes, yes.
Will you lift the sound?
Yes.
Will you make it loud?
Yes.
If you've got a soul,
yes.
you better shout.
Sing it loud,
yeah. My praise, and I will dance in your freedom now. One more time. Can we do that one more time? All right, y'all. Come on. Did He heal you?
Yes.
Did He free you?
Yes.
Did He save your soul?
Yes.
Did He make you whole?
Yes. Yes.
Did He wash you?
Yes.
Transform you?
Yes.
Did He redeem you?
Yes.
Did He free you?
Yes. Yes.
Did He set you free?
Yes.
Give you victory?
Yes.
When He died for you
yes.
on Calvary? The Holy Ghost.
Yes, yes.
So will you praise Him?
Yes.
Will you shout it loud?
Yes.
Will you lift Him high
yes.
with all your mind?
Yes, yes.
Will you lift the sound?
Yes.
Will you make it loud?
Yes.
If you've got a song,
yes.
somebody shout it out. I've got a song and I'm Are you guys free this morning? Do you have victory this morning? And it's all because of Jesus. Come on and give God a shout of praise, y'all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, you're so worthy. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth, come on, y'all know it. So you clean me up. So you clean me up inside. You thought I was a, so you sacrificed your life so I can be, so I can be whole, so I can tell. Sing, you thought I, you thought I was worth saving. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. And you cleaned me up.
Cause I Sing, worthy is the Lamb.
the Lamb. Holy is the Lamb. Holy is the Lamb.
Y'all better sing holy.
Holy is the Lamb.
Hey, God.
Sing holy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We worship.
worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 God's working. Listen to him. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ah, there's the anointing. There's the anointing. Move by your Spirit, God. Move by your Spirit, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Breto prashti kire yaro mundur di stala ramaro burroto. Brede di andara ramakia. You are so faithful, Jesus. You are so faithful, Jesus. Am I out? Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. God, we are so honored to be where you are. Sometimes, Father, we just forget how blessed we are to be able to be in your presence. Lord, today we just take this time to say thank you. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that washed away our sins. Thank you that the garments that you see us in are his and not our own. Thank you that you see us as spotless. You see us as your sons and your daughters. Thank you that today we are in your house honoring your name. We love you. We love you, Jesus. I wanted to read a quick testimony for you. Heather is here this morning. Heather, you don't mind if I read this? You put it on Facebook, so I'm going to read it anyways. Heather has only been coming for a little bit of time. How long have you folks been here? A little over a month? A little over a month. This is her testimony. God is so good. For those of you that know, a few months ago, I was diagnosed with gastroparesis. They always do big names. It's a disorder that stops your stomach from digesting food or really delayed digestion. I have a struggle with throwing up my food since I can remember. I've been misdiagnosed multiple times. A few weeks ago, my pastor prayed for me and I've been healed. Hold on, let me finish. Not fully, but most of the way. I've gained 10 pounds. Now I only struggle with getting sick with the harder to digest foods sometimes. God has healed me of multiple other things as well, but this is my biggest blessing. And this was just shy of needing a J-tube implanted. He can and will heal you if you allow him. I'm so thankful to give my life back to Christ. And there is no turning back now. All glory to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's take it the rest of the way. Come on up here, baby. We just want to pray with you one more time. Jesus got you this far. We're going to take it the rest of the way. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, not most of the way, but all the way. We command her digestive system to be perfect from this day forward in the name of Jesus, that she could eat anything, anywhere, anyhow. And the digestion will be absolutely perfect in Jesus' name. You said, God, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We take you at your word. Be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. How many more pounds do you want to gain? She wants to gain 25 more pounds. Amen. I wish there was an opportunity to give mine away. Amen, Pastor. Amen. There's also somebody here in your right shoulder. I'm going to point it to you because it's exact. Right here, you're having a lot of pain in your shoulder.
If that's you, put your hand on it right now. In the name of Jesus, I command right now the shoulder to be made perfectly whole in Jesus' name. It was done through sports, actually, I believe. In Jesus' name, I command that to be healed. No more pain. No more struggle. No more bursitis. I even come against bursitis in the name of Jesus. And God, I command all the pain to be gone that they may enjoy the sport that they do. In Jesus' name. Somebody else here is having a problem with your liver, and God is restoring that. And Father, I just speak to that liver right now in Jesus' name. I command it to be made whole. God, whatever the problem is, I reverse it right now. I reverse the curse and release the blessings of heaven into that liver for the glory of Jesus. God, you are so faithful and you are so good. You care about our every need. You care about our every need. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus. I have no clue what this is about, so I'm just going to tell you. It's like someone looking in a mirror and you're getting mature. That's all I'm going to say, mature. And you're seeing the sagging of your skin and it's bothering you, especially over your right eye. It's really bothering you, and God says he's going to do something for you. When you get up in the morning tomorrow, you're going to find that your skin's going to be tightened, and it's just because he loves you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. It's really funny sometimes. He just shows me some weird things. But a lot of times it's just that God wants you to know how much he loves you. And it's not somebody else. You see, if I called out some other illness and stuff that God shows me, that's one thing. But you know your eye thing bothers you. And God knows it too. You're special in his eyes. Amen. Very blessed this morning, and if I could have Al Kinney and Josh Fuchsman come on up here for just a moment. I'm very blessed this morning with our board members at His Tabernacle Family Church, and I think you just need to know these two men are part of the board at His Tabernacle, and we are so blessed to have these are men of faith. Come on up here, Josh. These are men of faith. They love the Lord. Does not. Sorry. You know, it's one thing to have a board, but it's another thing to have men of faith. Amen. And I thank God for these two men. They work on the church board, and I just want to say we honor you. May God's blessings chase you down and trip you up in everything you do. Amen. I love you. Thank you. I couldn't turn it down. I'm so sorry. We're very blessed in this house. Amen. One of these days, if you don't mind, one of these days, I'd like to introduce you to all the pastors and ministers. Would that be all right? Some of you don't even know who they all are. We are overwhelmingly blessed with a ministerial staff that is explosively Shazam. I mean, they're phenomenal people. And we are very blessed, blessed, blessed. Amen. So we're going to do meet and greet. Why don't you take 5 minutes, go meet somebody you don't know. Remember, be honorable. If they don't want to shake your hand, please don't be disrespectful. We just want to honor and love one another. Go meet somebody you don't know. And can we all do this? Can everybody stand? Can everybody stand? Everybody stand. Everybody stand. At least go to the end of your row and meet somebody. Everybody stand. Everybody stand. Go find somebody you don't know and say good morning. You look just marvelous today.
Hey, there you go.
Hello, good morning. We just want to say how are you to our online family. My name is Mindy. This is my husband, Pastor Cody, and we're so excited that you've joined us this morning for church. It's a great place to be, so go ahead and just let us know where you're watching from. We'd love to pray for you. If you have prayer requests, go ahead and let us know so we can be praying for you.
Yeah, check in the chat real quick. We see Molly is out here. Kevin's always on, Pastor Kevin. Charity, what is up? How are you? I saw your husband this morning.
Brenda, good morning.
Danielle again, back for a second service. Look, you can't really hide too far. It says there's 22 of you guys watching.
Yeah, come on. Don't be shy. Let us know.
On your phone. Kimmy from North Carolina. Where in North Carolina? Let us know. What's up, Rhonda Mays? How are you? Cam, I hope school is going great, bro.
Yes,
I love you.
Yes.
Hope that you're having a great time in school. I've missed you lately. It's a good day, though. It's a good day. Hey, a couple more. I know there's at least three more that were like,
Right.
Just pull up your phone and text
them
real quick.
Let us know. Don't be shy. We just want to say good morning. We love you.
Pray for my husband and I. Drop what you need prayer for,
Jimmy.
Yes. We'd love to. Lisa, how are you?
Good morning.
Melinda Rohde, how are you? Awesome. What a day. Bear Creek, North Carolina. Not
Very
a clue
cool.
in the world where that is.
I don't know.
We were just in Raleigh. I know that. That was cool.
It was. It was fun.
But hey, if you're local, we would love to invite you. One of our big things right now is just getting back involved after the summertime. We know that summer is everywhere. It's sporadic. Mm-hmm. It's this and it's that. But we would love to encourage you to get involved in the house of God. And if you're not a part of a group yet, we would love to get you involved in a group. What's a group? They meet some every week, some every other week. Some are activities. Some are Bible studies.
Pretty much there's something for everyone and every kind of person. Some are more every week and some are monthly. But listen, we want to get you connected with a family, a support system.
Yeah. Alan's mom is on.
Hello, Susan. How are you?
But hey, I just put in the chat right now.
Dropped a link
for how you can sign up for a group. And look, they're open. They're free. They meet different times, different places, different people. We want you to be a part because we need community.
Yeah,
I think over the last year, there was so much isolation. There was so much being alone that really what we need right now is community. And we want to invite you to community. We want to invite you to make some friends. We want to invite you to get involved with people who have a similar goal and push in what we have in life. So right there in the chat, you can sign up. We'd love for you to get involved.
And, awesome, Lisa. We'll be praying.
Pray for some people, for Kimmy.
Yeah.
Let's pray even now. And then for Lisa.
Okay, so Father, Lord, I just lift up these two ladies to you. Father, you know the situation. So right now, we just ask you to send your power. Put your hand in those situations and those circumstances right now in Jesus' name. And we declare those things done, made whole. Send your healing.
That's right.
Send your wholeness right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we speak to that kidney and we command it to come alive.
That's right.
And to function properly in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we thank you that right now you're moving on their behalf, that you're moving in their life
right now
in the mighty name of Jesus, that they're going to see physical manifestation and change in their life in Jesus' name.
Amen. And look, I would love to encourage you as well. We have our next event coming up is going to be Harvest Fest.
It's
on the same day as Halloween, but it's right here at the church. And it is such an amazing moment for our kids to get candy safely,
absolutely.
To honor God. Look, I know it's a pagan holiday, and I agree it is, but I want to redeem
like
it for
yeah,
Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely.
People are going to be acting crazy that night. We want to glorify God on that night and give an alternative, not just to believers, but those who are looking for something that's more safe, something that's doing something for the community.
Yeah.
I think last year we gave out like 80,000 pieces of candy.
It was crazy.
It was annoying, actually. We probably still have candy at our house because our kids both had giant bags.
It's true.
But
listen,
we're getting back into service.
Yeah, so we love you.
We
have a great day.
We have a hard time pulling away from meet and greet.
Have a great day.
But we'll bring this back together if you could find your seats real quickly. We have a great service planned for all of you. And we're going to move on in the service. I don't know where Pastor is. He's probably still out there somewhere. Greeting. All right, awesome. Thank you so much. We're going to enter into the time of service. In this house, we love to give. This is our time of tithes and offerings. Our Father is a giver, and He loves to give, and we like to give like He likes to give. And, you know, I've heard it said that tithing isn't for the New Testament church, but you can't find that anywhere in the Bible where He stopped. Where He says it no longer continues. Actually, Jesus encourages the New Testament church in Matthew to you tithe, this you ought to do. And if you've ever been a tither and a sower, you know that it is great joy to give, because when we give, we move our money out of this natural into the supernatural, and God opens the windows of heaven and he pours out blessings that you cannot even contain. I love being a tither in the house of God. It brings so much peace. Many of you right now, you don't even know what the future holds with your jobs, and you have deadlines coming up where you have to make decisions, and it's a scary place, but it's not scary when you're a tither and a sower. Listen, I've been reminded, and it makes me chuckle every time I read this passage of scripture. I can feel Pastor Spencer coming up on this side, so I'm just going to move back a little bit out of reach. So I've just enjoyed this passage of scripture. It cracks me up the way God handles things. But see, he knows he's supernatural, and he knows that he can do the impossible. He knows he can make a way where there is no way. He knows this, so he doesn't have any concern. So the passage of scripture I want to share with you is about Moses with the children of Israel. They had just fled from Egypt, and the Egyptian army had completely surrounded them from behind, and the Red Sea was in front of them, impossible to cross. They were stuck. They were in a place that seemed impossible, and many of you might feel like you're in that stuck, an impossible place right now. But listen to what the Lord said. Moses came to him crying, and he says, "Why are you crying to me, Moses? Just tell the people to go forward." Really? Are you serious? There's a Red Sea in front. Just go forward. What are you worried about? But see, God knows that he's supernatural, and he'll open up that Red Sea. So the message of the Lord to you today regarding the things that are transpiring in your finances, why do you cry? Just go forward, because he's going to part some Red Seas. He's going to make a way where there is no way. He's going to do some impossible things. So don't be afraid. If you are a faithful tither and sower, you have nothing to fear. If he has to feed you with ravens bringing food from heaven, then he'll do that. If he has to have you pull money out of a fish's mouth, he'll do that too. God can do the impossible with our finances when we trust him. So if you're ready this morning to give, stand to your feet. In this house, we make a supernatural declaration. And this is simply the Bible, because his word says the Bible is alive and active. When it goes forth, it has to perform. So we're not just saying words. We're declaring life over our finances. We're declaring the supernatural over our money when we make this declaration, and it cannot return void. You can expect God to show up in your life. So if you're ready with me, repeat it after me. It's found in Deuteronomy 28. It says, "If I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed." Come on and give your tithes and offerings this morning. If you're watching via live stream, you can go on the website, click the giving button, text to give, or even mail in your tithe right along with us.
times I've called your name some broken night, and you showed up and patched me up like you do every time.
It's a great day. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but the first service even had more children. I am so excited about the next generation. They're going to kick the devil in the head. That's all I know. Moms and dads, encourage you just to get your kids into kids' church. We don't do babysitting. We train them up to be men and women of God, learn how to pray, love Jesus. And we're raising up the next generation of ministers for the kingdom. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Will you welcome with me, Minister McKenzie?
Mark 2 says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. In Mark 10, he said, Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, take up your mat and walk. This passage in the Bible shows us the power of faith in Jesus. It also shows us the power of community. When we are weak and in need of compassion and care, our friends and loved ones are supposed to pick us up and take us to the Father to remind us of who Jesus is and refocus our faith. What do you think would happen if the paralytic man denied the help and support of his friends? None of us would be able to understand why he wouldn't accept the encouragement and even physical effort of his fellow believers to get him to Jesus. Sadly enough, most of us do this exact thing in our daily lives. Maybe you will see yourself in this paralytic man.
Every day, man.
Oh my goodness, are you okay?
Yes. I'm fine. Are you okay?
No, I'm fine. It looks like you're really struggling.
I appreciate the concern, but no, I'm used to this. I'm not struggling at all.
Are you on your way to see Jesus?
Yeah, actually, I'm almost there. So.
I'm going to see Jesus too. So if you'd like, I can get some friends or something.
Oh no, I don't need any help. I'm good.
Are you sure?
It's yeah.
Just that if you let people help you, you could be there by now.
Hey, if I needed help, I would ask for it.
Yeah, that makes sense. It feels so bad to see people struggling.
Well, in the most respectful way possible, I don't need your pity. I'm good. I'm really good. You know what? I'll see you there.
If you're sure.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll see you there then.
All right,
good luck.
Yeah, take care. I think I should cut my hair or something. I don't. Stare much, guy? Okay. What are you? What? No! Put me down!
You all right?
Luckily, I'm okay. That was rude. What are you doing?
You trying to go see Jesus, right?
Yes, I'm almost there. So, yeah, that's where I'm going.
Well, I was trying to help you get there quicker.
But I didn't ask you, though.
No, you didn't have to. It was honestly my pleasure. I have no problem helping. Literally, you seemed like you were struggling, so I figured I'd help get you to Jesus quicker.
Look, okay, I don't want your help. I just want space.
I get that. You're good to have space. I'm just saying, sometimes in life we need some people around us to get us going forward in life.
Well, that's just not me. Look, I'm doing this by myself, my way. I honestly don't need any help. I'm good.
I've been there. I've used to do a lot of things on my own, by myself, not asking help for nobody. But sometimes you kind of need that swift kick in the pants, if you know what I mean. You just need someone to help you carry you along.
Well, I don't think I can be kicked any swifter by life. So thanks for that beautiful metaphor, but I don't need you. I don't want your help. I'm good. Please, right. I'll see you there.
I'm not gonna push any further. If you change your mind, I'm not too far. Just give me a shout.
Okay.
All right. I love you.
What is that guy's problem? How many times did I say no? I don't need any help.
Ow.
Oh my goodness, I'm so sorry.
I almost fell asleep.
I saw you wake you. I was on the way to see Jesus. I saw you lay on the ground and I see your legs are not moving.
Well, my legs aren't moving because they don't work.
I see. Are you on the way to see Jesus too?
Yeah, I'm literally almost there.
Oh, do you need some help?
No, I don't need any help. I don't need any assistance. I don't need anybody to lean on. I got this.
Are you sure? Because you don't look fine. I'm just saying.
Look, you think that I'm struggling, right?
Yes, I can see you're struggling. But let me help you get you to see Jesus on time.
No, I'm not struggling, though. What you call a struggle, I call life. Every day, day in, day out, this is what I deal with. And I don't need your help.
Please, let me help you. When I met Jesus, he helped me. He's the sweetest man. So it's my turn to help people, including you.
That's great, but I know all about Jesus. I know who he is. That's why I'm on my way to him. I'm just going to do it my way. I don't need you.
But you can't do this on your own. But you need support.
Being alone is all I've ever known. So that's what's worked for me thus far. And that's what's going to get me to Jesus.
Are you sure?
Yes, I am sure.
Are you positively sure?
Yes, I am positively sure.
Okay, if you say so, I'll be at the house if you need me. Again, I'm really sorry I woke you up. See you later.
Kind of feel bad about that one. She was a sweetheart.
Hey man, are you going to go see Jesus today?
Yeah, I'm almost there. I'm right there.
Well, Jesus is right there. Let me go ahead and help you get there.
No, I'm good. I don't need any help getting there.
He's just right there. Like, why won't you let me help you?
I mean, what would you even know about it? Like, you don't know me.
I used to be a paralytic, actually, not too long ago. And I had actually a few of my friends just pick me up, take me to Jesus, and he healed my legs. What? And he can do that for you.
Okay, pause, go back. You were a paralytic.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally, I was paralytic. If it wasn't for those four people that actually picked me up and carried me to Jesus, I would have never got my healing.
But what makes you think that's going to work for me? See, I don't know who you are, mystery awesome hair guy, but that was your journey, right? That was your experience. This is my journey, and I'm going to stick to what I know, doing things my way.
Well, you can't do this alone. Just let me help you.
I've gotten this far by myself, though, so why would I need anybody else's help?
We all need help. It took four people to take me to Jesus to get my healing. Why don't you think you need assistance?
Look, my dad did this by himself. His dad did it by himself. I'm doing the same thing. I'm following in their footprints.
That sounds like a generational curse. Jesus can deliver you from that. All you need to do is just accept the help, and I'll get you right to Jesus to alleviate that off you.
I don't know why everybody thinks I need help. I'm good. Well, you're really nice. You really are. You're a sweet guy, but I really don't need any help. I'm good.
All right, man. I'll see you there then, okay?
Yeah, I'll see you there.
Wasn't that amazing?
Right?
You see that one guy that Jesus healed? He had like no arm from the elbow down, and he prayed there.
Yeah,
right
that was
there.
Yeah. Amazing.
Just like that.
Literal miracle in our eyes.
Guys.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Well, if you must know, my arms fell asleep. So, yeah.
But hey, you're on your way to see Jesus, right?
Yeah, I'm almost there. Just give me a minute.
You know, we can literally bring you right there to him. You're not meant to do this on your own. No man is strong enough to go through hardships on their own. It's not possible. Let us help you.
No, okay, what is wrong with all of you? I don't need any of you. I don't need you. I don't need you. I don't need anybody to get me to Jesus. I can do it by myself. Now get out of here.
All right.
I'm not your charity case. I don't need your pity. Just go.
All right. We love you. We're going to go.
Go!
Come on, guys.
I'll show every single one of you. I don't need any help.
God bless you.
We have not been called to go through life alone. God said, even with creation, it's not good for man to be alone. So God did something that was amazing. God sent his son to create a home. And this is the awesome part about who we are with Christ. So many people just don't get it. They don't understand. They've got stuck in a religious cog and they don't grasp who Christ is and what he's actually purchased. And on Welcome Home Sunday 2021, I want to talk to you about home. Some of you grew up in great homes. Mom and dad, maybe just a single parent, but you had a house, you had a bed, you had a dog, a cat, you had two bathrooms, and you had a pillow to lay your head down at night, you had a swing set in the yard, and everything was hunky-dory. It was a good home. But many people never grew up with a home. Many people have lived in abusive houses.
want you to see the difference. I'm not talking just about home. I'm talking about a house. Many people have lived in houses, but never a home. And God wants to bring a revelation to you, an understanding to you, that God did not come to build a house. He came to build a home. Knowing this helps you understand what God's plan is for your life. Some of you grew up in a house that was filled with hatred and rejection. There are so many different types of houses, but there are not a lot of homes. Just because it has brick and mortar does not mean it's a home. And God wants you to know that in 2021, you don't have to do this alone. That God's plan is for you to grow up in His house. His house is awesome. His house is great. His house has everything available. But if you always just visit a house but never come home, then everything can be in the home and you'll never participate because you only see it as a house. You ever go to a hotel? I traveled for over three years as an evangelist. And every single month I was gone for 3 weeks. I was in this hotel, that hotel, this restaurant, that restaurant. I'm talking like I ate at really, really nice places and traveled all over the United States. And it was awesome for about the first month. Then you realize a hotel is just a hotel. And a restaurant is just a restaurant. I couldn't wait to come home, to see my family, to have my kids run up to me and give me a hug. I couldn't wait to come home to feel the love of my family. You see, the difference between a house and the difference between a home, in essence, is the love that's there. We all need love. Every one of us is searching for the same thing. We're searching to be accepted and we're searching to be loved. And God's house, God's home, is filled with love. I want to read a verse to you real quick. Ephesians chapter 2, 19 through 22. Appreciate your patience as my voice is on the mend. Amen. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members, turn to someone and say, I'm a member of God's household. Now see, what's really powerful about that is this. A house is a building, but a household is everything that makes it the home. I have found so many people just go to church and they miss it. They go to church, they visit a church. I know folks that have been in this church for 10 years, you're still guests. You've never gone beyond just making it a house, the house of God. You've never made it a home. You've never made it a place to where a home can change you and develop you and mature you. You see, the household of faith, that is where God develops, where God grows us and matures us. When we don't understand that, then we just go to church, we sing a few songs, we hear a sermon, we go home, we're religious, and nothing changes. Change only comes with the people you hang around. And when you live in a house, then you might not be around people often. But when you live in a home, you got to get to know them. Say amen. The devil is striving to make sure that you never make God's home. That you are a person that always feels as an outsider. Always feel like you're not worth it. Always feels like, man, nobody cares about me. But I want you to know that is not true. The enemy will filter things in your ears to make you feel like you're separate, that you're just the outsider. And today I want you to hear me. Jesus desperately loves you so much that he died on that cross and he died there and rose from the dead so that he could develop a home for you, a house for you, a place for you to be safe, for you to grow, for you to know, for you to develop, and for you to become an adult in the spirit. But what happens is, when you only see it as a house, well, I go to church, that's nice. The devil goes to church. But when you come home, there's something that changes in your heart and your mind. There's something that changes with your perspective. You know, I don't know about you. When I miss this church, when I'm not here, this is my home. When I miss not being in the building, I actually miss. I feel weird. Anybody else feel weird when you're not in church? Now listen, it's not that I'm not going to church. I go to other churches when I'm on vacation. I'll always go to another church. But it's not home. You see, when you're home, there is something that changes in your perspective, something that changes in your receiver, something that changes as God is developing and maturing you. And the enemy just so desperately, that is why he works so hard in 2020 with this isolation. He's making the church feel like you're all alone. You can do it by yourself. But I've got news for you. You can't do it by yourself, or Christ would never have started his church. If church is not important, then Jesus Christ cannot be the Messiah, because Jesus started the church. So if church is not important, then Jesus, who said church is important, is a liar. And if he's a liar, he can't be the Messiah. We've got to come back to this, because the enemy in these last days, and let's be just as genuine as possible, it does not take a rocket scientist to figure out that Jesus is coming soon, that Christ is getting ready to crack the eastern sky, that the rapture is about to occur, that Jesus is getting ready for that last great outpouring of his Spirit to bring in the greatest harvest. Why? Because he loves people so desperately, but he's not going to do it on his own. He chose his family to do it for him. What I love about a home, and if you come to my house, especially on a Friday morning, and home is so important to my wife and I, and I'll explain why. You see, I watch so many pastors, they literally abandon their family for ministry. So they got so busy in ministry that their kids all went to hell. And I made a decision, my wife and I made a decision, that we would never sacrifice our children on the altar of Christianity. That we were going to grow our children, have a family, and build relationships with them, because I want my kids to be successful. And so we spent an enormous amount of time with my babies. But now, every Friday morning, we have family breakfast. So at 9:30 a.m., the kids, actually probably about 9:15, the kids start coming into the house. And now when they walk in the house, I've already done the bacon. We do 3 to 4 pounds of bacon every single Friday morning. I'm out there at 8:30, stripping them out, putting them on the pans. My wife is doing her thing with whether it be French toast. And when she makes French toast, she makes French toast. Or pancakes, man, with the blueberries in it, maybe some raspberries, chocolate chip for the kids. Go on, can I hear Jesus? And man, the coffee's brewing, so the house smells like coffee. And now it smells like bacon. Now you can smell all the other stuff happening. When the kids walk in there, it is impossible not to feel home. They don't run up and say, I'm here today. In fact, let me be honest with you. We don't only do this on Friday mornings, we do this every Sunday afternoon. This afternoon, we'll be going back to my house, and my wife will probably have 25 people at my house, and my wife is making chicken and shrimp Alfredo. Let me tell you. I'll send you the address. Glory to Jesus. Now, I'm not talking like the jar Alfredo. I'm talking like she takes the cheese and she melts it. She makes her own Alfredo and she pours it over. And man, then she has a little extra on the side. And man, everyone's going to be around that table. We're going to be laughing and joking. We're going to be laughing at the Bills as they lose. It is just going to be an awesome afternoon. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? It is going to be an awesome afternoon. But you know what's amazing to me? Not too long ago, Chad and Jade didn't show up. Now remember, they're in the Ithaca church, and their job, what they do is they come right from church right to the house for lunch. And they didn't show up. So I called him. Where are you? Well, we had to go out with another couple. You know, we just wanted to let them know we love them. So we went out, and I says, well, did you tell your mother? Boston came out. Did you tell your mother? Well, you know, no, I forgot to go. I said, so your mother made extra food and you didn't show up. Let me tell you, you don't show up the first week, that's one thing. But you don't show up the second week, I'm getting a little bit more aggressive. Why? Because your mother worked and she set a table for you. And the table is ready to be eaten from. It took her time to sit down and order the food, then make the food, prepare the place, prepare the drinks, prepare all the stuff. She makes a cheese board every single Sunday where it has the strawberries and the blueberries and the yogurt and the what else you got on there? The crackers and the olives. And our grandson loves to put the black olives on Ella's fingers and walk around and eat them one at a time. And if my kids don't show up the second week, man, I'm a little perturbed. Why? Because you know every single Sunday afternoon, it's not a shock and dismay. Every Sunday afternoon, we have a meal. You're expected to be there. Why? It's family. You don't show up the third week, I might just, next time you show up, I'm not going to put anything on your food plate. Well, why? Because it's disrespectful not to be there, to come home when supper's being prepared for you. Say amen or oh my. You see, as believers, we just look at church as a house. Well, I just go to church. That's my church. His tabernacle's my church. HT. But is it your home? You see, it's different when it's your home. It's a different perspective, and you have a different investment when it's your home. You see, when God is home, because the Bible says, where two or three are gathered, there he is in the midst. When one shall put 1,000 to flight, but two shall put 10,000. When we come together as the body of Christ, when we come together in his home, then the presence of the Lord increases. And that's what I love about Jesus. I love when the anointing increases as he did this morning. In fact, I'll just let you know, the worship service was more anointed second service than it was first service. The presence of the Lord was just thick in second service. So awesome. You could feel. But you see, when you're in the presence of your parent, you start to pick up things from them. When you're not in the presence of your parent, but you're always in the presence of your friends, you're going to pick up them. Whomever you're most in the presence with, you become like. Not too far does the apple fall from the tree. So what's happened is the enemy has worked so desperately and crazily to make sure that the body of Christ is disbanded and not in the house. Because the less you're in the house, the less impact God's presence can make in your life. And I've heard it all now. I don't need to go to church to go to heaven. And that is true in a sense. The fact is, you don't need to go to church to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But you need to go to church to grow up. And if you're not going to grow up, then there's a problem. And it's very rare in 30 some odd years of ministry, people that stop going to church end up backsliding and walking away from God. Because if you're not in the home, there's no connection with the Father. Say amen or oh my. Satan just hates you. He's never going to have a home. He's never going to have a family. He's never going to have love. He's never going to have anybody that cares for him. And he so desperately and deeply desires to make sure that you too will not have a home, to make sure that you too will not be in heaven, to make sure that you too are separated from God's plan. You see, that is the plot of the devil. He wants to make sure that what he doesn't have and can never have, you won't either. Homes are so important. You know what's a need is it's in your home that you learn your habits. It's in your home that you learn social skills. I remember calling everybody, even a year older than me, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, sir. I remember talking to one older gentleman and I said, yes, sir. And he goes, I'm not a sir. My name is, and he told me his name. I says, no, you're a sir. Because if my father was here, even though I'm older, he'd still whoop me.
because I learned social skills at my home. I learned relationships at my home. I learned how to argue at my home. Amen. I learned how to have fun at my home. My ma was so funny at my home. When I grew up, she would say, see the door? Don't come back until supper. You're out the door. When you come home, supper's ready on the table. Home. I couldn't wait to come home and eat. I couldn't wait to come home and be around the table with my family. There's a mindset that has shifted. In fact, one of the things I love so much about the young people that were actually bussing in on Thursdays, and what I love so much about Matthew chapter 25, is the fact that they're actually having a home-style meal with these children. And some of them, it's the very first time they've ever sat around a table and had a home meal. And it's so rare, even in the church world these days, to have people that will come to the home of God and sit around and have a meal. They just want to visit, grab a leg of chicken, and run out the door. We've got to have a shift because Jesus is coming. If there's ever been a time we're going to need each other, it's now. Listen, in 2 weeks, our nurses and those who work in healthcare, they're going to need the body of Christ. Thank God some of the places are yielding and giving religious exemptions available, but in New York State, they're not. So we have a bunch of people in New York State that are concerned, a bunch of men and women in healthcare that are concerned what their jobs are going to look like. They're going to need us. They're going to need us. They need our support. They need our love. We're looking at this world where now we're seeing persecution rise like we've never seen before. You know, the religious exemption, you might be just looking at that and saying, the healthcare. But if they can remove religious exemption for healthcare, what are they going to do now? Listen, we were unessential when during COVID. Now the religious exemptions are being thrown away. You think persecution is not coming? Are we so ignorant in our belief of understanding of where the world is heading that we don't really realize how desperately we need each other, how desperately we need the body of Christ, how desperately we need to be fitly formed to get together, how desperately we need each other's love and each other's encouragement, how desperately we need our Father to show himself, how desperately we need more of an anointing, how desperately we need more of the power of heaven, how desperately we need more love, how desperately we need. Because God has created a home, and in his home, everything you need is able to be performed. Fact is, a lot of people don't go to church because churches aren't perfect. Can you turn to the person next to you and say, you aren't perfect? It's funny, people come up to me and go, well, you know, I really got hurt at church. And I said, yeah? What do you mean? Well, I got my feelings hurt at church. I said, well, of course you did. There are people at church. Have you ever hurt someone's feelings? Everybody in church that's had their feelings hurt has hurt somebody else. That's what family does. How many didn't get along with your siblings overwhelmingly well? My sister punched me in the nose, gave me a bloody nose. I have never forgotten that. Would you say that out loud? But I'll tell you this. She might have punched me in the nose and my little sister and we'd all fight together. But don't touch my sisters. You can, listen now, I might be a little disrespectful to my parent, but don't you be disrespectful to my parent. That's family. We've lost this truth in our spirit. And we do more visitation in houses in the house of God than we do in the household of faith. And if that switch does not occur, then when true pressure comes, the people of God are not going to be home. They're going to visit a house, and then they're not going to visit a house. Listen, if the government can turn around and tell us that we have to get shot, I'm just saying it right out loud. I'm not saying the shot is good. I'm not saying the shot is bad. I will tell you this. If you get the shot, there's no sin in that at all. But what I'm telling you I have a problem with is when the government overrides our Constitution and tells us we have to get the shot. That's my problem. And if we have to get the shot, what about the mark of the beast when it comes? What about you can't go to church anymore? They already tried that one on us. We made a decision. And we did that as a church, as a body. And thank God, we stood strong. Amen. And you might not know this, but my wife and I can sit here today and tell you that it made national impact. We're one of the two churches that stood up in all of New York State. And it made national impact. We were just spoken about it just the other day again when we were up with Brother Ted. It's known. But we did that as a body. We did that as a family. We did that as a home. Don't you remember me standing up here and saying, remember, if the cops come in, don't be disrespectful. Don't say anything negative. Don't mumble or grumble. Do exactly what you're told, but film everything. Remember that? So many of you were so brave to come to the home of God, no matter what the cost would have been. Amen. Well, I just don't like people. I like being by myself. That simply means this. If you don't like people, you don't want to be around people, you don't like home, then there's something wrong with your heart. You need to know there's a heart issue going on. Whether it's because you've been hurt and you don't want to make yourself vulnerable, or whether you're just not right with God. When you're not right with God, you don't care if you go to church. When you are right with God, I've got to go home to be with Dad. He set up table. There's a mindset in the body of Christ that has to shift. Are you with me now? I know that some of you are struggling. That's all right. I got you. I'm almost done. Here's what I've heard. I don't need to go to church. I can stay home and watch online. That's my church. I don't need anyone. I don't agree with everything, so I just don't go. I was hurt at church. Well, so was the pastor. He still has to go. I don't have time for church. You're missing supper and you're going to starve to death. I would rather be alone. Man shouldn't be alone. You're broken. You need to be fixed. Other things are more important. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There are so many reasons that we've created and excuses that we use not to be in God's home, but it actually is showing a simplicity of our hearts. We've got to make decisions in these last days. Listen. The Christian church in America has had it very, very easy. Things are going to shift, folks. And it's going to be a challenge to be born again. People are going to hate you that you never would have thought will hate you. How do I know that? Jesus said it. Your parents will turn you in. Your siblings will hate you. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. Here we are, if we can't get settled with a family. Listen, I love my blood family. I love my mama. She lives here now. I love my auntie. I love my cousin. I love my family. I love my family, and I've got a phenomenal family. But what I love, too, is my home, my Christian family is tight, and I love you, and we are one. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are. It's an old song. Okay. Look at that. All the older people are singing that with me now. Ah! The question isn't that there's a house of God. The question is it your home? You know what I miss about my children being home? I have to mow the lawn. I have to take out the garbage. And I have to vacuum my room. I miss my children. My wife said, we did not birth them so they could do all your work. And I said, well, then you don't understand. But the awesome part about being home is that everybody has responsibility. And even though we always don't get along with our siblings, we don't always agree with our moms and dads, we don't always want to be home, we always come home. It's important to know that home, God's home, is a place of safety. It's a place of peace. It's a place of growth. It's a place of discipline. It's a place of being fed. And the more you're not home, the less healthy you'll be. You're just trying to guilt us in the church. No, this is fact. That's why some of you struggled as adults, because you had bad houses. You never had a home. You see, I grew up in a good home till I was 15. Then it went from a home to a house. And we struggled deeply. My childhood, though, was awesome. The question is as we are growing and maturating in the kingdom of God, where we come on a Sunday, is it a house or is it your home? Because if it's your home, you look at it completely different. If supper's been made, you don't skip out on supper. You might for fun. I mean, relaxation. We all need a vacation. Can I hear an amen? I need a vacation. Vacation's one thing, but we're not going to skip supper. Because, baby, you can tell I don't miss a lot of supper. Because supper's important. Amen. But it's not just filling the gullet. This afternoon, as we're with our family eating, what are you going to make again? Alfredo. Shrimp Alfredo. As we're sitting around the table, as we're sitting around, and you know, we're going to be sitting around drinking coffee and laughing. Me and the boys might go out, shoot some archery, and then who knows what else. We're, no more swimming. We're closing the pool. But, you know, just kicking back and relaxing. We're family. We're family. You need family. And this is what God's house is all about. Building family. Stop being a visitor and be family. That means you're going to have to be vulnerable. That means you're going to have to get involved. Amen. Amen. I like that alarm was perfect. No, that's good. It was perfect. When you can come on a Sunday for a year and you don't know at least 10 people's names, it's still a house to you, not a home to you. When you don't know what somebody else is going through, or no one knows it about you because you've so secluded yourself, it's no longer a home, it's a house. God built a home, not a house. Amen. Father, I just thank you so much for your home. God, you're an amazing God. Lord, you did not create us to do things alone. Lord, that skit was so clear and so real. Father, that is so many of us. I've got this. But Lord, we need each other. Lord, I thank you that you are working this in our lives. I thank you that in these last days, we're going to have to get joined together. We're going to grow together. I thank you that we are going to be a generational powerhouse for this region. And Father, I just thank you that you're going to move in our lives to bring us to a new place. And Lord, greater consistency for your kingdom's sake. In the name of Jesus, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not asking you to join a church. Jesus did not come to build religion. He came to build a family. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior and you want Him in your life, you want to become part of the family of God. Sins washed away, brand new man, brand new woman. Today, if you'd like Christ, I'd like you to slide your hand up this morning. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. His name is Jesus. And as you're contemplating, as the Spirit is drawing you, I want to give God praise. About 120 people have given their heart to Jesus in the last 2.5 weeks at His Tabernacle Family Church. That's a lot of folks. Last week alone, 15 people gave their hearts to Jesus. Today, if you would like Christ in your life, I want you to slide your hand. I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4, get your hand up. Thank you, ma'am. You can put it right back down. 3, come on. Anybody else this morning? 2, last call, and 1. Let's all stand to our feet. Hallelujah. I'd like us to pray right out loud together. Jesus, thank you. Come on, everybody together. Jesus, thank you for making us a home. Thank you, Jesus, for drawing us to yourself. Thank you, Father, for being a good father. We ask in the name of Jesus that you'll grow us up, that you'll mature us, that we'll do great things for you. And Holy Spirit, that you'll use us to encourage and strengthen and build other people around us in the house of God. We need you, Jesus. We want you, God. We want to look like you. We want to act like you. We want your attitude. We want your power that we can show you to this world. That when they come home, they will feel the genuine love of heaven in this place. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. This last verse is so powerful. Not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as was the habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, urging, encouraging one another, and all more faithfully as you see the day approaching. Jesus is coming. I'm serious, man. Jesus is coming. It is close. We've got a lot of work to do. A lot of people need to hear Jesus. Amen. And that's our job. We're going to do it as a home. And when they come in this place, they're going to feel the love of Christ. They're going to know that God's not dead and He's alive. Not because of religion, but because of the love that's oozing out of every single one of us. And if one shall put 1,000 to flight, 2 shall put 10,000. Amen. You're a powerful people. Powerful people. This, as we're getting ready to dismiss, if you raise your hand for Jesus and you want Him in your life, you can come right over here to Mindy. She's wearing the mustard shirt. Pretty good. Mustard. Mustard shirt. And if you're a first-time guest over on this side, Terry and Kayla would love to meet you right on over here if you're a first-time guest. We have pony rides for the kids. Moms and dads, you're too heavy. Amen. You can pet the animals. We have ice cream, or if you're fresh in the house, listen now, we no longer call it ice cream, remember? We call it salad. That way we can deceive ourselves and believe it's good for us. Amen. Make sure you put a lot of chocolate on there. That's good. That's dirt. Glory to the Lord. I love you. Serve God with all of your heart. Enjoy Jesus. And thank you for being home this week. Wow. What's that?